That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Tuesday. I apologize for the delayed episode, but trust and believe it is worth it because your girl is home. I am home. I've been in Florida this last week and I love Florida, but and I love my family. And there's nothing in this world I love more than my family, except my bed. And I have returned to my bed. I am so happy. Yeah, I'm sorry. I said it. I love Olivia. I love her house. And her bed is great. It's not my bed.
Got it. Well, we're happy to have you back. I'm happy that
we're happy to have you back.
Well, I mean, you kicked me off the podcast the last two episodes. Like Friday's episode.
I did. You could have done it.
I was fine to do. I didn't have any conflict. I couldn't do Monday's episode. And I told you that weeks ago because I had a doctor's appointment. So I did need a sub in then. But you're like, Friday, Ben, Monday, Olivia, bye. I was like, oh, okay. And I'm using your studio and I'm taking over your house. Bye.
Let's go there. Okay. Ready? First of all, I gave you a day off. You're welcome.
Spending time with Harry. I'm not complaining, but I just want the people to know, because they probably assumed Jackie couldn't do the episode Friday, so Claudia subbed.
Well, obviously didn't listen to my episode with Ben where I said, you know what, I'm in Florida, I have no, and you gave me studio at my disposal,
let me give
Jackie a day off.
No, I did listen to it.
So why would you say that I said anything else?
I didn't say that you said something else. I said people might think, and even though you said I'm giving her a day off, they might have thought because she couldn't do it, because she couldn't.
Well, you know what? If you couldn't do it, you're literally the most pregnant bitch I've ever seen. That's fine. It's fine if you can't do it.
I know, but some days I really can't do it. So I just wanted people to know, I got the boot from my own show.
You got the boot for your own show, but for amazing reason.
And you know what? And I got the boot from a barefooted foot.
You did. Ben tooted you right out.
With his big, shoeless, hairy foot.
And he just got to stomp over everyone around with his big feet.
Yeah, he really did. But then yesterday, I couldn't do it. Olivia did it. I watched your guys' episode. That was so fun. And I do have to report, I got 2 days off of alarm-free living and I woke up earlier than ever.
Good.
We're recording later. Woke up, got up way before my alarm would have gone off.
Yeah.
So you love to see that.
Well, you're welcome. I also, we had taken apart your Florida studio before, when we ran back to New York to get to your doctor. We were thinking maybe we'll podcast from your bed. We took everything apart. We tried to set up a studio
when I was going to do bed rest in Florida. I brought my studio equipment down to my bed is what you're trying
and
to say.
We haven't been back to your house since then, so your podcast studio was in disarray. So I didn't take over your studio. I put it back together, bitch. You're welcome. I carried all that equipment up those stairs.
By yourself?
No, with Ben.
I was going to say Ben didn't help you. He was literally there.
He did, but it was a lot of stuff and I didn't want to make two trips. So I had to carry stuff. He had to carry stuff.
No, I appreciate it. I love seeing the flamingos. I love seeing you in my house. I love seeing my house.
Oh, and I was such a good sister. I went through you,
all my packages.
You guys. And honestly, when I saw how many packages you got, I'm like, you have a problem.
No, but you open them.
No.
Okay.
Can I finish my sentence?
We just can't
stop
communicate.
Today. Yeah.
We can't.
I said, when I saw the amount of packages, I was like, this girl has a problem. I'm going to get a therapist and do an intervention. This is an abnormal amount of boxes. I know you've been gone for months, but my God, how much does she order? And when I tell you, there was probably 50 boxes and three of them were things you actually ordered. Everything else was PR and Toast sponsors and just product.
Yeah.
I judged you and I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay because you did open my packages, keep the things that I needed, and discard of the boxes, which was the kindest thing that you could do for me so I don't have to walk home and into all of it.
By the way, I know the feeling. I just got home. I was gone since Wednesday. I have so many boxes outside my front door, and it's the worst thing ever. All the work waiting for you. So honestly, I know what a good deed it was, and the way that I have taken that off your plate, like, not to make everything about me, like, I feel good, like, for doing that.
I'm so happy that you feel good, and I feel good because you raided my closet while you were in Florida.
I did.
And honestly, you've never looked better.
Yeah, I didn't pack anything for Florida because I have, like, a bunch of – I have all my makeup down there. I have all my hair products. I have, like, a decent amount of clothing. It's nothing, like, gorgeous, but it's good stuff for podcasting and, like, walking around the neighborhood. So when we went out to dinner, I didn't have anything, and I was like, there's just a gorgeous closet. Let me go see what my stylish, you know, investor sister has for me. And I had such a good time, you know, scrolling down the aisles of your closet, picking things. I looked gorgeous. I wore a very controversial pair of shoes. Thank you for being so generous, so open with me. I truly appreciate
it. You know I always am. You guys are always so surprised when I literally would give you the shirt off my back and lend you my nicest things. But I like
it's so true.
I like to see my sisters looking nice.
It's true. I'm just like always, like I picked up a purse and I'm like, I'm going to wear this, LOL. And you were like, no, you could wear it. I'm like, what? I can wear this Gucci bag that I don't think I've ever seen you wear. Like,
but I did wear it. No, I wore it. It's relatively new, but I wore it in the same outfit that you did. That was funny.
You really are a generous queen. Like,
Thank you.
I don't know why it's shocking.
I know.
You're a nice person. I don't know why it's shocking, but, like, it is. And I think it's because, like, you really care about, like, you take such good care of, like, your clothes and your bags, and you have pieces for years, and, like, they're important to you, whereas, like, I throw my clothes in a ball and it's all from Amazon. Like, your things are so important to you, and you have such pride in them that I wouldn't be mad or surprised if you were very territorial with them. But whenever any sister, like, needs something, you're always like, take it. No, take it. You're so – that can never be me. Like, you will give someone a shirt or a bag or whatever that you haven't even worn yet, which is crazy.
Yeah, if they needed it and it was, like, the right thing for the occasion, then my sister's going to, like, step out into the world feeling and looking her best.
Yeah, but maybe it's shocking because, like, as kids, that was pretty much the only thing we ever fought about was, like, somebody wearing someone's shirt without permission. Like, clothes, we were so territorial over them.
Mm-hmm. I wonder maybe that's what Yeah, maybe. Or, like, as kids, like, we were all, I don't know, maybe, like, slobs, and you didn't know if you were, like, going to get your things back. But now slobs. It's like, you want to ruin my dress? Like, you'll go get it dry cleaned.
Slobs, that's true. Even though I am still a slob, I do feel like maybe now is a good time to mention. I did borrow this, like, green Abercrombie set. It wasn't, like, crazy. It was not expensive. And I went to Outback Steakhouse and ate a Bloomin' Onion. It was so oily. There was, like, 2 drops of oil on the shirt, and, like, I don't know how to get rid of it.
It's fine.
It wasn't, like, something it's, like, super
if
fancy.
If that outfit, like, vanished from my closet, I don't know if I would ever notice.
Okay, it's not, like, one of your prized possessions.
No. But so, you know how sometimes, like, you'll think of a clothing item that you once owned and you're like,
of course.
I didn't ever get rid of it, but I haven't seen it in years.
There are things that come into my closet never to be seen again.
Yeah, I wonder where those things are. Maybe it's like your sister stained it with a Bloomin' Onion and just stashed it in the incinerator.
Yeah, it's like one of those mysteries of the universe.
Yeah, like, I think of certain, like, t-shirts or something. I'm like, I never threw that away or donated it. So, like, where the hell is it?
I know that happens. Like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and just, like, be thinking about a random piece of clothing I bought 3 years ago that I never wore.
Yeah.
We've got a great show today. We've got stories galore, and I can't wait to talk to you about it. But I did want to mention how we kind of, I believe it was on Friday, where Ben was on the toast and we were talking about Francia Raisa. And I was telling Ben that Francia Raisa is actually a really good friend of Josh Peck and they should get her on the podcast. And Ben was like, oh, let me ask. And, you know, everything just happened so easily for Ben. Yesterday, they recorded with Francia Raisa. That's why they usually release their episodes on Monday of the Good Guys podcast. But today, this week, they released it on Tuesday because they wanted to squeeze in this episode with Francia. And I actually listened in while they were recording because I just was, like, so interested and I wasn't doing anything else. And you got to listen to it. It's out now. You can watch it on YouTube or you can listen to it as a podcast. She was really very open. And I think a lot of people will enjoy the episode. One, just, like, she's a cool, fun, young, funny, pretty girl, and she's really talented, and she has, like, an interesting background. But then, of course, you know, they dove deep into the kidney gate, and she's clearing some things up.
Okay, I will be listening. Obviously, I want to know all about her and her story and kidney gate.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Leave it to Ben and Josh to, like, stumble into, you know, the most premium guest of the year.
Right, of course. Only the best for the good guys.
And she also talked a lot about, like, the ins and outs of being a kidney donor. One thing I learned from her episode, which I found to be so interesting, is that if you are somebody who has given someone a kidney and years later or however much time later, your remaining kidney fails or something happens and you end up needing a transplant, because you were a donor, you automatically go to the top of the list.
Wow. I mean,
I know. It makes sense. That makes sense,
because it's like you are missing a kidney because you gave one.
You gave it. Yeah.
But do some people just get their kidney out and then go on with one kidney? Yeah.
Everyone does. You only need one kidney to live.
Right. So then this is going to sound so dumb. The people who, like, need a kidney transplant, do they lose both kidneys?
No, it's a good question. I was actually thinking about that,
too. Or maybe the other kidney isn't strong enough.
Yes. 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 Kidney. But, like, a healthy person in this life only needs one kidney to survive. And the problem is like, one, I think one is really essentially supposed to be a backup for the other.
Yeah, but if they're both not operating at 100%, then you do need to bring in a second kidney.
Or if you only have one, and because you had donated one, and
I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
Kidneys now sounding like funny to say. Kidney.
Garage.
Yeah.
What?
No, like, we
don't
know.
Don't your eyes at me, wench.
We know you think the word garage is funny, like, over and over again.
Wow. Oh, we know. Yes, Jackie, it's called relating to another person in a conversation. I know the feeling you're talking about with kidney, because I get that feeling when I say the word garage a lot.
And I know that you get that feeling because you tell us all the time.
Because I'm so open and authentic and honest. Yes, thank you for reminding everyone.
Anyways, kidney.
It sounds fine to me. Unlike garage.
Help. This is a cry for help.
I'm gonna miss you so much when you go on maternity leave. Like, it's just, it's not the same when Jax isn't here.
I know. Well, I'm going on maternity leave very soon, which I am excited about. I'm gonna miss the toast and I'm gonna miss podcasting with you, but I am excited for, like, that joie de vivre we'll have when we come back together.
That, yes, like a renewed spirit between us. Mm-hmm. Also, I know you didn't do it on purpose, but I'm, like, eternally grateful to you for planning your maternity leave in August, because August is really a dead month for celebrities for podcasting. Like, our numbers, they're not great right now. I'm not gonna lie. Like, they're taking a dip.
Yeah. Well, no, they're we were peaking, and now you could tell, yeah, like, people are on vacation. People aren't, like, listening on their commute to work. They're listening to the radio while having, like, a beer with a their party. Friends. They're, yeah, not listening August to podcasts.
It's always like a slow, low month for us. So if we have to take time off, I'm glad it's not like, you know, February. February is lit, you know?
January is lit.
Oh, so good. So August, like, I'm totally fine with. And, you know, while you're on maternity leave, like, I could take a trip. And what's a better time to take a trip than August? Where should I go? Saint-Tropez, south of France?
Yeah, that's where everyone goes in August.
I think I should go.
Okay. Bye, Turdy Lou.
Are
you really going to take a trip?
I don't know, like, the world is my oyster, no?
It is.
Wow, I've been hanging out with Olivia too much, because that is so something Olivia would say. She loves, like a Hallmark card, the world is your oyster. Like, yeah. What's it called?
You only live once. Like a little, like...
Colloquialism, is that what it's called? Like a phrase.
Like a little quote that you would see on
a pillow.
She
always says YOLO.
Yeah. Yeah, she's everything, like, she'll rationalize anything. Like, you'll say, oh, why did you do this? She'll explain why she did it, and she was like, YOLO.
No, and she's so right. Like, you only live once.
Yeah.
It's like facts.
So funny. She's so funny. The episode was really funny. What's also so funny, because we're just like...
Oh my God, we are funny.
Comedians.
We are funny.
You podcasted with Olivia yesterday, and then this weekend I podcasted with Snitch for the Patreon. We did an audio-only episode, and it was just, yeah, like, so funny. I can't explain why, but she was just cracking me up. She's so snitchy. You know?
There's something going on with the snitch.
You've podcasted with her recently, so, like, you've experienced it. But it was just hysterical. And I'm excited for everyone to hear it.
Don't you feel like there's something going on with the snitch? Kind of like a renewal of sorts. She's kind of giving, like, extra snitchy energy these days.
Yeah. No, the snitch I've gotten, I've seen her a couple times in, like, the last week. She's been a wonderful snitch.
Maybe she's the type of snitch who kind of blooms in summer. She's a summertime snitch.
She would say so. You know what she would say, and I would roll my eyes.
Something about seasons?
She said she's in her season, yeah.
Yeah. Is that, like, one of the phrases you hate?
No. I just, like, didn't think it made a lot of sense.
Interesting.
I just didn't, like, I just feel like seasons change.
No, that's pretty much what they were invented to do.
They don't last very long. Like, so that's true. Like, what happens when the season's over?
A new season begins.
But then it's not her season. I just found it faulty.
No, you're 100% right. The fault in our season.
It was just very limiting, I felt.
I understand that completely.
She was saying it literally a year and a half ago. And I feel like she's more in her season now than she was a year and a half ago. So I feel like maybe she was saying
it. But wouldn't you hope for that? Wouldn't you hope like you're constantly becoming even more in your season, not like less as time goes? You're always supposed to be growing.
Of course, but then you're not in your season. Then it's not a season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're the type of person who's like, you know, obsessed with like facts. Yeah, okay, you're right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Anyways, we do have a good show. We've got some stories for you. I missed commentating on some of the stories that happened Friday and Monday. But well, I'll be okay. Girlfriend. I'll be let's okay. Like Megan Fox responded to all the weirdos.
And what did you think about the tone of her response?
Honestly, I liked it.
It was so aggressive. She was talking literally to us.
No, I don't think she was talking to me, actually, because I was not like,
you.
I was saying, like, there's definitely more to the story. And I felt like, even though she was being, like, rude and technically she was asking for money from the people she's also calling weirdos.
So true.
I like that she did provide some context. Like, do you guys ever consider that maybe this makeup artist like doesn't want her celebrity clients like having that dynamic between them that like they paid all her bills? She asked me to put, like I said, the nail artist asked for her to post the link, and like what do you say to that?
Yeah.
So I was shocked that she commented on it. I thought it was like beneath her to do so, but I'm glad that she did so in a way that had some character.
Yeah, and personality. It was different.
Yeah. It was. It wasn't just like, you know, everyone worked really hard on this movie. The cast and crew.
Yeah. I'm happy she didn't throw the cast and the crew under the bus either.
Yeah. So she had something to say and I enjoyed consuming it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and what was your take on Cardi B?
Oh my God, I'm all over the place. Because at first I was like, you get her, Cardi.
Me too.
I'm like, you make an example out of her.
Fuck around and find out.
This is why context is everything.
Yep.
Everything. Because even though she said splash water on my P word. Mm-hmm. And then apparently she also said, but not on my face. So clearly the girl splashed her and got on her face. But you've seen the video of the girl. She does it. And then she's like, sorry. I think that she didn't mean to get it on her face. She probably turned around quicker than the girl was expecting.
Yeah, but also, like, how do you tell people to splash you but not your face? Like, you can control the level of splash. Like,
you know, she
once the door is open,
the floodgates, and
literally,
given that she was the one who opened the gates, like, she doesn't get to have that reaction.
Yeah.
You know?
When I had thought it was just, like, a completely unprompted, unprovoked thing, I'm like, get her. Like, she's so entitled to that sort of reaction. But context, like, actually really made me feel bad for the girl.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad I got your opinion.
Yeah, so not everything is so cut and dry.
Yeah.
I just hope, like, when an entertainer does get unfairly thrown something at, like, they do have that energy.
Me too. So it was a good example for, like, what type of energy you should have in the correct situation.
But it was not the correct situation.
Correct.
Also, I think her aim was off and she hit a different girl.
Yes. Oh, the microphone didn't even hit the girl who threw it. She hit someone else.
If you're going to throw something at someone, like, you better get the right girl.
Yeah, 100%. Like, your aim has to be on point.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't.
No. So those were my thoughts.
Okay, good.
So now, without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite events should not be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for all the fun you're going to have. So Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. No longer having to plan months in advance, as you know that is my least favorite thing. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. You can also get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, and baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Get images of your seats before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You can buy tickets in a matter of seconds. It's literally two taps and you're set. And the tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never have to dig through your email. This is a great app just to have on your phone at all times. Like if you're traveling for work or for pleasure and you just find yourself in a new city, or you live in a fabulous city that always has like good theater, concerts, events going on. Make sure to have the Game Time app on your phone. You can snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code TOAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code TOAST for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Thank you, Game Time. Today's episode is also brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. It's all in one place and it's all on your terms. So whatever website you want to create, whether it's for a side hustle of yours, you want to start an e-commerce business, a blog, Squarespace is an amazing resource because I think the idea of creating a website can be really intimidating. A lot of people, you know, get fancy degrees to do it. But Squarespace has these really easy to use templates that will get you a website up and running that looks like it was professionally made, but you did it all yourself and it's nobody needs to know how easy it is. They have a ton of different product features. So if you're looking to sell merch, you can easily sell custom merch and create a passive income stream that engages your audience and scales your brand. If you're looking to create an online store, you can sell your products on one of their online store templates. They have flexible templates. They have email campaigns where you can drive sales and engage your audience with their email campaigns. You'll easily be able to collect subscribers on your site and build connections for repeat business through regular email updates. They also have a great point of sale, so you can sell in person by connecting a Square reader to the Squarespace app. You'll keep your orders, your inventory, your customer data in sync with your online store. If your online store or your website that you're creating is for e-commerce, Squarespace is the best, most organized platform for online sales, for in-person sales. It's really a great service. And if you don't know where to start when it comes to creating a website, we highly recommend Squarespace. And if you want to head to squarespace.com, you can get a free trial. When you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/toast to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
First story. Oh, we forgot about our Hannah Montana transitions.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Because I like it.
Yeah. Our first story is actually some crazy news that just came out. So it is actually not the worst thing that we started this afternoon. But a bombshell lawsuit says that Lizzo forced her dancers to eat bananas from sex workers' vaginas during an Amsterdam trip, amongst other allegations. But I do think that is the most headline-grabbing one.
Yeah.
Three of Lizzo's former dancers are suing the Good as Hell performer, as well as Big Girl, Big Touring, and Shirlene Quigley, for allegedly subjecting them to endure weight-shaming, sexually denigrating behavior, and pressuring them to participate in disturbing sex shows. The plaintiffs, Ariana Davis and Crystal Williams, claim in the lawsuit filed on Tuesday, obtained by Page Six, that they eventually were fired up. That they were eventually fired, and the third plaintiff said that she resigned over Lizzo's stunning behavior. While on a concert trip with the award-winning Grammy artist to Amsterdam in February 2023, the plaintiffs claim that Lizzo invited them for a night on the town, which ended in the city's red light district. The area is known for sex theaters, sex shops, and clubs and bars where nudity is on full display. The lawsuit states, quote, "Things quickly got out of hand. Lizzo began inviting cast members to take turns touching the nude performers, catching dildos launched from the performers' vaginas, and eating bananas protruding from the performers' vaginas."
Ew.
The suit also claims that Lizzo allegedly pressured and goaded Davis into touching one nude performer's breasts. The plaintiffs claim that just a month later, Lizzo deceived them once again into attending a nude show, thereby robbing them of the chance of the choice not to participate. Davis also claims in the lawsuit that at one point she had no choice but to soil herself on stage during an excruciating re-audition, fearing the repercussions of excusing herself to go to the bathroom. Eventually, Lizzo allegedly fired Davis on the spot after learning Davis had recorded one of their meetings, even though it was in order to have a copy of the notes that the artist had provided. Rodriguez resigned shortly thereafter out of solidarity with Davis and the disrespect Lizzo allegedly showed her.
I mean, this is, like, so disturbing and gross, and it just came out, so I don't think Lizzo's responded yet, and I'm sure she won't, just because, like, again, it's, like, one of those things where you really can't say anything because it's, like, an ongoing legal matter.
Right.
I do want to say the girl who got fired for recording, I can actually see that being, I don't know what they're suing for, if it's like wrongful termination. Like, I do feel like that's like a big no-no. And I could see like Lizzo winning that legal argument because, yeah, whatever her reasoning was, like recording, and I'm sure she signed NDAs, it's like a direct violation of a contract or whatever. But the other stuff in this lawsuit is so deeply disturbing. Especially as it pertains to like forcing people who work for you. And it's not only people who work for you. There's such a power dynamic between like celebrity and, you know, civilian. There's so many different dynamics. Forcing them to attend like really disturbing, graphic, nude, lewd, I believe the word is, performances, and like forcing them to participate is like actually really traumatizing. And this is really disgusting.
Yeah, so what they're suing for is general and special damages, as well as punitive damages and attorney's fees. And it also says that Lizzo and her managed team treated their performers, the way that they treated them seemed to go against everything Lizzo publicly stands for. Privately, she weight shames her dancers and demeans them in ways that are absolutely demoralizing. I think
what
also
is weight shaming?
Fat shaming or skinny shaming. Like, it maybe if they were losing weight, that's not a good thing.
I really can't see Lizzo fat shaming someone. Like, that's literally her whole.
Yeah, but they didn't say fat shaming, which makes me like they me said they did shaming. Say weight shaming. So I feel like it could just be the opposite.
Yeah, like maybe if some of the dancers just like from being on tour or whatever, like started to lose weight. Lizzo's whole aesthetic is that she wants to prove like big girls can be dancers too. So if they're like not corroborating with that sort of image, I get
or they
that.
Don't have like the look that she wants,
right, she'll start shaming them until
which is like
more.
Exactly what the industry has been doing for
the
years
opposite.
The opposite,
right.
But it's still the same.
It's wrong
issue.
It's wrong both ways.
It's a core issue.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think this is shocking. One, the allegations are shocking, the banana and the vagina and the sex things are wild, but also like this is so incongruous with Lizzo's public image. Like, I think Lizzo's fans and just, you know, people have been really like taken aback by this. Even though the news just dropped, it's very shocking to hear
it's
from
so
her.
Not Lizzo. It's
not
so
the
not
Lizzo,
Lizzo
you we know, but again,
right.
We don't know these people.
It's so true. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this will all have its day in court.
Right,
Lizzo will
right.
have an opportunity to defend herself.
And maybe make a statement. I feel like she could say, while this is an ongoing legal matter, like everything alleged, I feel like a lot of people would be like, this is completely untrue. I look forward to my day in court.
Yeah. Especially if that's what they're going to say in court. I don't know why you couldn't put that out in a PR
right.
statement too.
Yeah. Yeah. But is the story, like, big enough? I also could see people, like, not caring. I feel like people just, like, love Lizzo and, like, whatever.
No, I think it's big. Like, because I saw the initial articles in Page Six. And then, like, my Instagram, just, like, random publications.
Like accounts?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because some of the allegations are extremely.
They're fucking gross.
Yeah. Attention grabbing.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like celebrities get sued all the time, like, for being like horrible to work with, but the specificity of these accusations are so one specific and be like really disturbing once you read them.
Yeah. Yes. And we always get, you know, like a toxic workplace,
right?
A lot
right.
of these like vague terms, which could be really
yes.
bad, could be really bad, or it could just be like a person's particular experience.
Yeah. And I think when they use big, like those buzzwords like toxic workplace, they've kind of lost their meaning.
Yeah.
Because they never say what it actually was. And we're like, okay, toxic workplace, like maybe you got yelled at. But this is like actually a toxic workplace.
Yes. And incredibly
it's
specific.
True.
And also, as stated, very different than the Lizzo that we
yeah.
think we know.
This is big, if true.
Because sometimes you hear about someone who's like, you know, a mean boss. And you're like, yeah, they seem like a mean boss.
Well, this is like the conversation we
and
were
that's
having
their
about
brand.
Ben Platt.
Or even like Miranda Lambert.
Yes. Oh, that's who we were talking about. Miranda Lambert. Like her situation, like it didn't affect her at all. Like nobody pulled her music from country radio. Like because she's the bad bitch of country. Like it
yeah.
doesn't, it makes sense. That's like so Miranda. But Lizzo's kind of this queen and like kind of carved out this whole space in the industry for, you know, being different, being inclusive, being kind. So it's like, I'm trying to think of an example.
Like Ellen is the example.
Yes, yes, you took the words right out of my mouth, Jackie. Ellen is an example. When your brand is kindness, and in turn, you end up not even like not being kind, but being like the nastiest bitch alive, like it's jarring.
Yeah, and it makes the fallout from the situation a lot bigger and worse than it would be.
Yes.
If it was like, you know, I don't know, Simon Cowell is a so hard true. Boss to please.
So true. Like, that's so Simon.
Right. So we will definitely keep tabs on this story. Hopefully Lizzo will speak out or the trial will start soon and we'll get more information. But this was just crazy.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
I am.
Honestly, we have two very sad stories from yesterday.
I know. I'm, like, really upset about Angus Cloud.
Yes. Angus Cloud has passed away. His family announced yesterday after intensely struggling with grief following the loss of his father, Connor Hickey, the week before. The 25-year-old actor was found dead in his home on Monday. Before that, the actor and his family had reportedly traveled to Ireland last week to bury their patriarch. The family said, "It is with the heaviest heart that we had to say goodbye to an incredible human today. As an artist, a friend, a brother, and a son, Angus was special to all of us in so many ways. Last week, he buried his father and intensely struggled with the loss. The only comfort we have is knowing Angus is now reunited with his dad, who was his best friend."
No, this is, like, so sad. Margot sent the link in our chat, and you know when something shocks you so much, like, you can't even read it. Like,
yes.
I knew what it said, but I'm like, wait, it was not computing logistically in my brain. I am so sad, and I think that, you know, any life loss, but someone so young whose career had just started, like, Euphoria is his first project, and he shot to fame, and every brand wanted to work with him. I think he was, like, a face of Louis Vuitton, because his character in the show, for anyone who doesn't watch, like, he is, like, a drug dealer, but he's kind of weirdly, like, the moral compass of the show. He, like, looks out for his younger brother, and he's, like, he knows what he's doing is wrong, but, like, he just needs the money, and he's kind of like a therapist to a lot of people. He's one of my favorite characters, and he's a lot of people's favorite character, and I think it was – he's not an actor. Like, he's not a trained actor. This was his first job, so I really feel like the character he played was really similar to the type of person he was, like a very sweet, soft-spoken boy, and I don't know any of that to be, like, fact or not. It's just the vibe that I get, and it just – I don't know, I'm like a really, this is one of the saddest things I've heard in a really long time.
Yeah, I don't watch Euphoria, so I honestly was not familiar with him, but this story is just so incredibly sad. Like, that's how profoundly moved he was and devastated by the loss of his dad. I mean, they didn't say cause of death, but the family
added. I feel like they did.
They said the actor was open about his battle with mental health and hoped that his passing could be a reminder to others who are struggling that they are not alone and should not fight this on their own in silence.
I feel like it's a very respectful way of saying suicide.
Yes.
And that's just so sad. It's, there's no other, there's really nothing else to, like, to say other than this is one of the saddest things. And it's just terrible.
Yeah.
I do, like, he is an active and sort of kind of main character in Euphoria. I know that Euphoria, I believe they said that the next season, not that this matters literally at all, but, like, this is what people talk about.
Yeah.
I believe they said the next season, which I don't even know when it's coming out, but it's, like, 5 years in the future.
I saw a headline that it was, like, not coming out for a few years.
No.
Oh.
No. Like, but it's not coming out. It's not coming out for a while, and it's also set in, like, 5 years from now.
Oh, okay. I probably saw something that was like New Euphoria is set in 2026 or something.
Right.
And I thought it meant it was coming back then.
Understood. So I really hope that they, like, honor him, because he was such an important part and, like, really just kind of like the soul of the show. So I hope that they honor him. I'm sure that they will, and it'll be really sad to watch.
Yeah. Well, our next story is also very sad because Paul Reubens, also known as Pee-wee Herman, the actor, has died at the age of 70 after a private bout of cancer. So Paul Reubens, the actor best known for portraying the irrepressibly, joyfully childlike Pee-wee Herman, died Sunday night after a private bout of cancer. He wrote in a statement posted to Instagram after his death, "Please accept my apology for not going public with what I've been facing in the last 6 years. I've always felt a huge amount of love and respect from my friends, fans, and supporters. I've loved you all so much and enjoyed making art for you."
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
You're going to ask about his scandal.
Yeah, like, how do you reconcile someone's death when they've done horrible things?
Okay.
Like,
do you know what he did?
child pornography, public masturbation.
Okay, so I looked into it because I was like, everyone's saying the nicest things about Pee Wee Herman.
But then
like,
I remembered.
But then I was like, but isn't there some like stain from the past? Right. And I looked into it. And the first thing was not public masturbation. He was caught with his like penis out at a like a porn show, one of those porn theaters. Like, so in a place with adults watching porn, he had his penis out, which was so shocking. One, like it was the 90s, and two, it was just incongruous with him being this child performer and like, you know, him in his private life doing something that was more weird than the character that we know. But it was like a victimless crime. That's, I mean, he was just attending like a legal thing and had his wiener out. Well, I've kind of remembered the story as him being in like a movie theater with his pecker out, with other people around, but no, it was a porn house.
Yeah. So in 2002, he was also charged with one misdemeanor count of possessing material depicting children engaged in sexual conduct, a charge that was later dropped with the actor pleading guilty to a charge of obscenity instead.
Okay, so then I saw that child pornography thing, and it was like images or cartoons that were like vintage, like they're from 30 years ago. It wasn't like active child pornography like we think about it. And I don't even know if
what do you mean cartoons?
Not cartoons, like editorial. Hold on. I was just reading this. Got it.
I know what you mean.
Pee Wee Herman's scandal. This is what it said. I just want to speak correctly on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like the first one you wouldn't get arrested for today, like having your penis out at a sex show.
Yeah, and the charges were dropped.
Got it.
So, okay. In 2001, police searched his home in the Hollywood Hills. They seized boxes of materials that his spokesperson characterized as vintage erotica. The lawyer said the charges of possessing images of child pornography were untrue and without merit, and his publicist said the handful of images came from more than 10,000 vintage magazines seized from the actor's home, some of which were three decades old. The charges were dropped in 2004 when he pleaded guilty to a lesser obscenity charge. So it's not like child pornography. It's like, as we think of it today, it's like these children are exploited.
Yeah, no, I think of like Mark Saling, who had like, you know, files and files of homemade, terrible, exploitive, nude children.
Yeah. Not that. Not squeaky clean. What the images were. And there's all, like, there's so many things of, like, there's charges against him, charges dropped. When the charges are dropped, are you not in it? Like, can we not move on from it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
It's a little dicey, and I don't know.
Actually, totally random. Like, literally, I don't know. This is not a good tangent, but I was just thinking about prison. Last night, I watched Jelly Roll has a documentary on Hulu. And I really, like, obviously, I know him because he's country, but, like, I don't really know his story at all. And it was fascinating. I highly recommend the documentary. He, and, like, I know that he has, like, these incredibly devout, obsessed fans. And, like, I didn't really understand why. And his whole thing is addiction. He was, you know, a pretty big drug addict and drug dealer. And he was in and out of juvie and, you know, adult prison for, like, you know, the formative years of his life. And he finally got his act together and just kind of focused everything he was focusing on drugs, putting into music. And he talked a lot about how, like, he trades one vice for another and how, like, he talked about his weight actually really openly and how, like, food is definitely one of the things he traded for drugs and, like, it's better, but he's now obese and, like, his words, not mine. And, like, is that healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, it's better than, you know, crack.
Mm-hmm.
It was really an interesting documentary. I actually think you would like it. And now I feel like I understand because doesn't it feel like he kind of came out of left field into the music space with, like, all these fans?
Yeah.
But so, like, addiction and recovery is so his beat. And I think that's, like, those are the people who are really impacted by his music. And it was actually really amazing. He, like, you know, spends so much time and money while he's out on the road visiting rehab facilities and juvenile, like, delinquent centers. I don't know if they still call them that. But and he brings them food. And, like, if they have any passions, like, he bought this girl a guitar just so she could, like, focus her energy on that instead of, you know, like, being with the wrong crowd. It was a really good documentary.
Okay, I'll check it out. Oh,
and he was talking about, I remember why I thought of it. He was basically saying he has so much guilt for the things he did that ended up in prison for him. Like, yeah, he sold drugs, but then he had, like, armed robbery, and, like, he hurt a lot of people. and he feels like he really can't move on, and that's why he does all these things. I think he feels this like immense amount of guilt, and he never lives in the present because he's so stuck in the past. And he's like, I don't know how or when like people can forgive me, and like I can forgive myself for the things that I did. And he's like clearly a good person. He just like was a troubled teen who hurt people, and that's what it reminded me of, because it's like, at what point do you, you know, move on? The Pee Wee Herman thing is different because I feel like when you really look into it, you're right. They're not like, they're not the crazy. Like, they're not crazy.
It's not like, especially considering what we see in here today, and especially out of Hollywood. But I was just looking more like, so he was fined $100 for the, and he did 3 years probation and agreed to register as a sex offender.
Oh. So,
yeah.
Okay, wait, now I want to backtrack a little bit. I feel like being registered as a sex offender is like no small thing.
This is what he said at the time. He said, I'm glad the prosecutors finally dismissed the child pornography charge without me or the taxpayers having to pay for a costly circus-like trial. I'm disappointed any part of my collection was ever deemed inappropriate. Taking responsibility by calling a few images in this collection obscene and paying a $100 fine seemed like the sanest way to make it end. He said, I don't want anyone for 1 second to think that I am titillated by images of children. It's not me. You can say lots of things about me, and you might. The public may think I'm weird. They may think I'm crazy or anything that anyone wants to think about me. That's all fine, as long as one of the things you're not thinking about me is that I'm a pedophile, because that's not true.
Okay, but he's a sex offender.
Yeah, that was a part of a plea deal in order to not go to trial. Anyways, like I said.
Interesting. Context is key, but him being a sex offender definitely changes my perspective a little bit.
Well, your perspective was like really negative before.
Yes, yes.
You said, how do you recognize this person who sent horrible things on the scale of horrible things?
This is bad, but not even close to, like, some of the other things we see. You're correct.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I also, like, I don't know what
the bar
images
is.
Were. No, the images. I don't want to know. Age. I don't want to know.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Pee Wee Herman.
I used to fuck so hard with Pee Wee Herman.
But I also feel like since he's passed, like, not a lot of people are talking about all that stuff.
No, that's why it's so funny, because I knew about it, and this morning when we were on the plane, Ben like was reading a newspaper weirdly, and he was like, Pee Wee Herman died. I'm like, oh my god, do you live under a rock? And then the article also mentioned his crimes, and Ben was like, wait, I didn't know that. Why is like nobody talking about that? Why is everybody praising him? And I'm like, no, it's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't have all the answers.
Now he's gone, so let him rest in peace.
Rest in peace, sir.
Or rip, Pee-wee.
Rip.
Are you ready for our next story?
Is it our next story that's brought to you by JS Health Vitamins, a science-focused vitamin and wellness brand that provides targeted formulas to help you meet your personal health goals? It's created using the highest quality ingredients backed by research. It's made in Australia and created by expert nutritionist Jessica Seppel, and they have a formula for all of your needs, from skin to digestion, stress, sleep, hair growth, and more. Aussies are globally renowned for their high supplement standards, and it is really shown with these vitamins. The Detox and D-Bloat is their tried and true bestseller. It's designed to reduce bloating and support natural detoxification based on traditional use. It's a vegan-friendly formula. It's made with turmeric, milk thistle, fennel, and it's made at a research-backed supplement dose to support liver function and promote healthy digestion. It is a formula that can honestly give you comfort and confidence very quickly. The advanced magnesium from JS Health Vitamins contain 3 forms of bioavailable magnesium. It's carefully designed to support muscle relaxation, energy production, and nervous system functioning. That's the magnesium plus from JS Health. It's one of their best sellers as well. JS Health is just a great brand with really high standards for their supplements. So if you're concerned at all about what supplements you're taking and what the ingredients might be in there, check out JS Health. Their vitamins, again, are science-focused. They are a wellness brand that provide targeted formulas to help you meet your personal health goals, and they are made with the highest quality ingredients that are all backed by research. Go to jshealthvitamins.com/toast and use code toast for $20 off your order or your first subscription order. So that's jshealthvitamins.com/toast, code toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Article. Summer is on its way. Have you been dreaming up ideas for your outdoor space and how to make the most of it? Well, the best thing about summer is getting to do all of your favorite indoor things outside, like sharing meals, watching movies, falling asleep on the sofa. We all know everything is just better al fresco. So Article's curated catalog of outdoor furniture is here to help you do all of your favorite things this summer. They've got everything you need to really make things your own, from outdoor sofas to dining sets to decor. Their flexible range of styles means that you can do more with the space that you've got, and it's the ultimate open concept area. So if you have so much, if you have a backyard, a balcony, a terrace, whatever your outdoor situation is, there's so much potential. So why not make your outdoor space really work for you? Article believes in delightful design for every home. Thanks to their online-only model, they have really delightful pricing as well. Their curated assortment of mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs make furniture shopping simple. Their team of designers are all about finding the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. They're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stand the test of time. They offer fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada. I can attest to that because Jackie has some beautiful outdoor furniture at her stunning home. And I was there when it was delivered, and it was actually so simple and so easy. They were, like, really communicative. It was, like, not a stressful thing. Their customer care team is there when you need them to make sure your experience is smooth and stress-free. Article is offering our listeners $50 off their first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/toast, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/toast for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Thanks, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our next story update, Bebe Rexha confirms a breakup with her boyfriend, Kian Safari, after the body-shaming text.
These two are, by the way, body shaming text is misleading.
Yeah, I agree. Wait, I have some thoughts. So Bebe Rexha reportedly gave London concert growers an emotional update on her relationship on Friday. Before performing Atmosphere, she asked the audience members to help her. She said, I just went through a breakup, so I might get a little emotional. I can't blame myself for getting lost in the promise of you, and I can't blame you for leaving. Later in the concert, she teared up over a fan sign telling her that she was enough. She also detailed her plans to look for a new boyfriend at the Heaven nightclub, the outlet reported, E! News reported on Monday.
I can't blame him for leaving either. If anybody ever screenshotted my fucking personal text messages, like, you bet your ass I'm never talking to you again.
You don't think she broke up with him?
She said, I don't blame you for leaving.
Well, that was in her lyric.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was, like, part of her monologue before the song.
Oh, no, that's her song, Atmosphere. But, yeah, that is confusing. I feel like she broke up with
who. I don't know who broke up with her. But you know what? Like, these two are not for each other.
A relationship cannot survive that if we don't have a boundary between private and public, especially when you're a celebrity. Good day, sir. But I was in the car yesterday. The radio was on, and, like, some radio hosts were talking about this story. And I was actually interested to hear what they were going to say, because I feel like they don't ever, like, you know, say anything. They're probably
no, they
just
don't,
like,
have hot takes. They, like, regurgitate, like, you shouldn't talk about a woman's body, and, like, of course you shouldn't, but did you read the text message? Because it's much more layered than
right
that.
So I was like, I wonder what they're gonna say. Like, are they just gonna be, like, corny, be like, bad, right, Kian?
Right.
But what one of the guys said was, like, listen, if your wife or your girlfriend ever asks you, have I put on weight or how do I look, you just lie. You just say you look great. You say, no, I don't see a weight gain. And that's, like, and the female host was like, yeah, she's like, yeah, I love honesty. But sometimes, like, what good is it? And I was just
like, I feel like that's bad advice. Am I crazy? I would never ask that question unless I truly wanted
the answer. Could handle the answer.
So if I'm going to say that and you're going to lie to me, like, I'm going to be vulnerable and you're lying, like, no, I actually, what are women, stupid? Like,
I don't know.
Like that.
I think this guy, Bebe Rexha's boyfriend was an impossible situation. Either he lies or he says the truth and then he's, like, you know, blasted for body shaming her.
In the text, we had seen that she had asked him to
be
truthful.
Yes, yes. That's the whole, so honestly, I understand why this guy is just like, just say they look good, like, whatever.
Right. No, then, like, no, you need to be honest. Like, only if somebody asks. Don't offer that information up. Like,
of course. No,
like,
we're
it.
Saying if somebody asks, or, like, you know, you're getting ready for an event, like, do I look good? You shouldn't say anything other than yes.
Yeah, I'm just at a place in my life now where, like, I know if I look good and I know if I look bad. Like, Ben's opinion truly means nothing to me. Like,
that's true.
Sometimes I get dressed. He's like, I don't think that looks right. I'm like, oh, cool. You're wrong. Like, I'm good.
Well, I guess, like, if the question was framed, like, I've gained weight, have you noticed?
That's just, why would anyone ask that question?
Like, yeah, no, it's never going to end well.
No, never.
So then should you stay away from women who ask that question? Because it's never going to end well?
I don't think, like, blanket lying should be your go-to. Like, relationships are meant to be, like, places of honesty and vulnerability.
No, but some.
Right?
I agree. But it doesn't work out.
No, I know. Kian got in trouble.
And it sounded like he couched his whole sentence with love and you're beautiful to me. And even though he was answering honestly, like, it's not like he said it in a mean way.
Yeah, that situation with Bibi kind of backfired. I actually was really surprised at how many people on the internet were giving their takes and, like, were actually critically thinking and, like, looking into context clues. Because I feel like we see that and everyone's just like, oh, fuck this guy. But, like, if you gave it, like, 5 minutes of thought, you were able – and, like, you thought about it critically. I think there was enough context in the text to, like, make an argument for his side. And I was actually really surprised at the amount of people I saw, like, just giving their opinions on it, not just giving that sort of regurgitated, like, oh, man, never comment on a woman's body. Like, that's – because that's not what was happening here. You shouldn't comment on a woman's body, but let's not use that. That doesn't apply here.
Yeah, but, like, if you're asked a question, like, don't you also have to get an answer? It's not – it's rude not to.
Right, so either you're commenting on a woman's body or you're a liar, which are both bad.
Or you're not answering a question, and that's rude.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a no-win situation. So I understand why, like, you know, the guy would just be like, I'll just say what I know she wants to hear.
By the way, I did figure that these two were broken up. I didn't think that they could make it back after that, so this is not news to me.
Well, it's now
I didn't
confirmed.
Even think about it. I was like, yeah, duh.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Is there a fifth and final story about Taylor Swift?
No.
Did you see the news that, like, it came out that since her U.S. tour is about to end, this weekend is the last leg in L.A., that she gave out $5 million worth of bonuses to everyone who works on the tour. Each truck driver got a bonus of $100,000.
I saw the truck drivers, but I didn't see the sum total of $5
million. Yeah, I thought that was pretty sick. Like, my queen continues to slay.
Yeah. But they did a great job, and those trucks really trucked.
On time, every time.
Hopefully this last one, let's not jinx it.
By the way, they're already
it's
there.
California to California, they'll be fine.
Right. No, that was really cool. Like, she's a queen.
Yeah, she is a queen. I'm going to miss seeing all the clips and stuff, even though it's petered out, and, like, Haim just isn't doing it for me. So
agreed.
It's okay. I think the LA clips will be fun to watch.
I forget who I was just having this conversation with.
But now we're in our era of Beyonce clips. Like, now my Instagram. You're right. Remember how saying? You were like, I feel like Beyonce's tour isn't, like, getting as much, like, hype as Taylor's. I'm like, just wait till they switch continents.
Yep.
Because now all of the people that I follow are going to see Beyonce. I'm getting all of these, like, viral videos from accounts I don't follow of Blue Ivy and, like, and the outfits and everything. And so now we're just swapping.
Yeah, me too. Like, I 100%, you were totally right. But I was just having this conversation with someone, I can't remember who, but, like, I find it so shocking that, like, I never really took to Haim because they're three sisters, they're Jewish sisters.
They're Jewesses.
Like, there's so much, like, about them that I should deeply relate to and just automatically stand for that reason. And the fact that they're Taylor's best friends. Maybe it's deep-rooted in jealousy that, like, it should be me. Taylor's going to have a best friend. That should be me holding your hand. But I never really got on board.
I agree. And I feel like I had the potential to like their music. I love that one song.
The Wire. Coming down to the wire. Yeah.
So it wasn't a fait accompli.
Yeah.
But I agree. No, thank you.
No, it's so bizarre to me. I'm not into any of it.
Maybe.
But I wish them truly the best. They've been such good friends to Taylor. Taylor's been very good to them.
I don't know what I'm trying to think. I don't think it's like jealousy.
But maybe it might be jealousy for me.
Some sort of like projection.
Yeah.
It's like you're a bunch of Jewish sisters. You're just like not doing what I would do.
Maybe it's like internalized anti-Semitism, honestly. I don't know what the fuck it is. Like, why don't I stand?
I don't think it is because I don't associate them with Judaism necessarily. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe they're not Jewish enough.
No, they're so proudly Jewish. I know you don't follow them, but they're like, I follow them on TikTok. They do this little Hanukkah series. Like, they're proud Jewesses. Like, everyone knows that they're Jewish. Their original band name was like the Bagel Bitches. Like,
no, and also it's like Haim, like L'Chaim.
Yeah, right. Like, they're totally proud Jews. I love that about them.
Okay.
So I don't know what it is. I think it's internalized anti-Semitism for real.
No, I don't think it is.
No, by the way, I don't either. That was
but there's
a joke.
Something there. There's something.
Yeah.
There's a block.
We should explore that in therapy.
There's a block.
Yeah.
Okay, our fifth and final story. I actually think this is going to be an interesting conversation starter because it's layered. Love is Blind alum Nick Thompson. So he was on season 3. He got engaged to Danielle. Remember them? She went to dance on tables. And of course. He like wanted to not. He revealed that he is on the brink of homelessness because nobody will hire him in the wake of the dating show, as he's slamming the exploitative Netflix for paying him just $7.14 an hour with no residuals. So let me take it from the top. Former Love is Blind star Nick Thompson has revealed he's at the risk of losing his home after struggling to find a job in the wake of his 2021 appearance on Love is Blind, for which he said he was paid just $7.14 an hour when you break it down, because they were working 24 hours.
24.
Because he said he was only paid $10,000 for 10 weeks of filming, and that there has been zero discussion about residual pay despite the ongoing success of Love is Blind. He said when you think
this is actually interesting timing with the strike.
Yes, it's a strike-related combo, and Bethany Frankel has also been getting in on this convo about reality stars and residuals. So he said, when you think about the amount of money that's being made and the way that it's the path for future seasons and the fact that anyone can go on and watch me and I'm going to be homeless, I lost my job last November. I'm having an incredibly hard time finding a new one, he said. He said, I burned through my savings that cashed out my 401k. I've got 2 months left in the bank to pay my mortgage. I can't get a job because people don't take me seriously. I was a VP in software for 5 years, so it's not like I don't have track record or experience or success. He also described feeling like he was being kept prisoner during his time in the social experiment and believes that he and others were manipulated by producers and psychologists. Shed light on the brutal reality of filming Love is Blind. He alleged that producers are in control of you 24 hours a day. Quote, you are filming 18 to 20 hours a day, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're always going to be on TV, but you're milked from the moment you get there in the morning, and you're milked all the way up until you leave. Mm-hmm. Then when you go home at the end of the day, you're locked in your hotel room without a key, without your wallet, without money, without ID. You are literally held captive like a prisoner, and there's absolutely no reason that you shouldn't be considered an employee when you're technically under the control of your employer for 24 hours a day. Since appearing on Love is Blind, he has gone to co-launch the Unscripted Cast Advocacy Network, which helps provide mental health and legal support to past, present, and future reality stars. His comments come just weeks after Bethany Frankel called for a reality TV reckoning amid the ongoing saga SAG and WGA strikes. She argued that reality stars should receive residuals for the shows that they appear in and that they should unionize.
You know what? I feel like this conversation is actually really interesting. And if anything, seeing like the negative, we know so many reality star success stories, but we really don't hear about the ones that don't go as well. And it really makes an argument for a union for reality stars. And I had followed this because there's another element to this. I had followed, he's always coming up on my TikTok making videos about his stuff. And he ended up, I think, having beef with Nick Vile.
Yes.
Because Nick Vile talked about a lot of the stuff that, what's his name? The other, his also name is Nick, right?
Nick, yeah.
Nick. Nick Vile talked about a lot of the stuff that Nick was posting on social media and basically was like, too bad.
Okay. I saw like months ago that they had beef about something. And I think it was about I think it was about like maybe mental health.
Yes.
Exploitation of like people's and mental producers. Health when they go on reality TV. Yeah.
And producers kind of controlling you and manipulating you. And I think Nick was like, you know, my words, not his, but like manipulation, being manipulated is like a choice. Like, you know, you should be mentally strong enough to not, you know, which is like kind of like a crazy thing to say.
I wish I could recall better what I saw, but I feel like there was also the argument being made of like, if you have these mental health issues, you should not go on a reality show.
By the way, and you shouldn't. And I think that a lot of the shows like The Bachelor, they do like fake ass psych evaluations for people because they want the crazy. No, sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean crazies. I'm sorry. That's not what I meant. They want the people who can be easily manipulated and can maybe have a breakdown because they think that's entertaining and it makes good TV. So those psych evaluations are fake as hell. Like they don't they don't say, oh, this person's not stable. Let's get, they say, oh, this person's not stable. Get them in.
Yeah. Yeah. They're actively seeking people who they could manipulate. But,
so when you think about like how reality stars don't have health insurance, reality stars don't get residuals, like the amount of people who go back and watch like old episodes of like The Bachelor, like all these things, it is an argument for a union. I actually think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a good argument. And I feel like this entire time we've been talking about the strike, it's like, what about the reality TV piece?
Yeah, we've been talking about that.
And that's kind of just been like the gray area where it's like, oh, they can still film and they can still promote work. And everything. But I think for some reality stars, they feel exploited.
Yeah, and we just are never talking about those people. We're always talking about, like, current reality stars, successful reality stars.
Because
reality
there is
stars
a lot
go on to launch their own business.
There is a lot to gain from going on reality TV, too.
Right, like, you could argue someone's going back and watching this guy Nick's episode, so then they're going to follow him on Instagram, which is a form of currency that you can monetize. Like, there is an argument, but I don't think it's strong enough. Like,
yeah.
I could see how, you know, for the girls especially, I think it's much easier to have a career afterwards. I think I keep bringing up The Bachelor, but because it's like it's the show that's produced the most reality stars, in my opinion. And I think a lot of the guys really struggle money wise afterwards. It's not as easy.
Yeah. But also think about like The Housewives.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like.
But that's a show of affluent people.
That's true. But they're also jeopardizing their standing.
Yeah, they are. But those are people who, like, who without the show still have a house. You know what I mean?
Not always.
And in a lot, and this is going to be a very, like, you know, misogynistic thing, but in a lot of the housewives, it's, like, more traditional. The man makes the money.
For sure, but that shouldn't dictate whether you got paid appropriately.
No, of course, of course, of course, of course, of course, of course.
But also, I think housewives are more appropriately compensated. Yeah. First of all, I think the starting rate is like $10,000 a season, which is what they were making on Love is Blind, but you don't have to surrender your ID and your wallet and
24/7.
And yeah, be in a situation like that. But also with a show like Love is Blind, it's like you don't know who's going to go all the way, quote unquote, deserves the biggest paycheck, contributes the most to the storyline. So everybody gets paid the same whether, you know,
you're a star or not.
But I guess if you don't get engaged and you don't go to the next phase, you probably don't get $10,000 for that.
Right. Like, your paycheck, I think, is directly correlated to the amount of time you spend on the show. And if you don't make it out of the pods with a partner, your time is up.
Yeah. Maybe it's like $1,000 an episode, actually.
Or it might be per week.
Yeah.
Because he said 10,000 for 10 weeks because he made it all the way to the end, to the wedding. But after, I think it's 4 weeks in the pod. Or maybe even two.
Yeah. No, there's definitely, like, a conversation to be had here, like, with residuals. And also, like, on a 24-hour show, like, you should be paid better. Mm-hmm. But you shouldn't also expect to go on one season of reality TV and that's going to, like, cover you for the rest of your life. You're still going to need to work. So he's still going to have this issue of, like, people don't take him seriously and he can't get a job.
But he'd be getting residuals.
Okay,
is that, like, enough to live?
The residuals from Love is Blind, which is how many people on the show, how many people are even watching it past that big first boom?
Right.
And again, like we've said, like, the streamers would have to release their numbers in order to, like, figure out how much to pay people for residuals. And the argument has been being made that those numbers aren't what people think they are.
Yeah, no, I think, like, if he got residuals, it would be helpful, but it wouldn't solve his problem.
No, not at all. And the expectation that you go on a show and you get residuals for the rest of your life that are going to, like, keep your house for 10 episodes of a show.
Like, working actors who aren't, like, super famous but have been, you know, working their whole lives, they get residuals. I follow a bunch of people on TikTok who are, like, working actors, and they always are opening up their SAG residuals, like, from the mail on TikTok. It's actually really interesting. And they have, like, 20, 30, 40, 50 projects from the last however many years that's their salary residuals over, you know, for the rest of their life because
right.
It's multiple
even,
projects.
Like, everyone talks about the Friends residuals. It wasn't just 10 episodes that they did. It's,
well, yeah, that's like the 1% in SAG that, like, is really not applicable here. I think it's like 99% of SAG members, like, don't reach the minimum salary to get health insurance, which is $26,000 a year.
Got it.
It might not be 99%, but, like, it's an insane amount. And so, like, that's who this strike is really for. It's not for Tom Cruise. You know, he's fine.
No, I didn't think. But the not Tom Cruise himself, but, like, people like Tom Cruise are standing in solidarity with strikers.
I actually read that, like, Matt, because I saw, like, a bunch of people, like, threads and stuff, people calling out certain celebrities who, like, haven't shown up physically at the picket line. And then people were just, like, arguing in the comment section, and I was just reading it. I think it was Matt Damon and Ben Affleck have been secretly paying the rents of a lot of SAG members, you know, who are either, you know, production coordinators, cameramen, like, you know, actual cast and crew, and secretly paying their rents, which I thought was really interesting.
That's really nice, but they haven't shown up at the picket line was the point.
Right, and then people were arguing, like, well, it's a security concern. Leonardo DiCaprio can't just stand in the street.
Right. And that's why you never know the whole story, and context is everything.
It's true. But I do think a reality union isn't the worst idea.
Yeah. And especially for, like, even shows like Vanderpump Rules, like, people really are always going back and watching those. And it should be...
You should be compensated.
Yeah. No. So I hear what he said. It's fair. And that is really sad for him.
I know. But I'm surprised that we have, like, more people haven't come out. If you think about how many reality shows, like, have, like, a blip of fame. Everyone's obsessed with it for 35 seconds. Like, too hot to handle, you know? I think a lot of the girls end up becoming, like, successful social media creators. But I think that's really hard for the guys.
Yeah. Some of them, like, do okay. I mean, especially if you can, like, go back to your old job and do a little bit of social. It's all good. But I feel bad that he's having such a hard time.
Me too. And I think he's got a good, he makes a good argument.
Yeah, he does. And he's got Bethany on his side, and she's a strong force.
Yeah, no, if I want anybody on my side, like, because I'm in an argument with someone, like, I want Bethany on my side.
Totally.
Good stories, Jax.
Thanks.
Oh, nice long episode today. Sorry it was so delayed, guys. Thank you for your patience. Again, love you dearly. I don't know.
We'll wrap it up so we can get it up.
Right. Yeah, we will. Jackie, we'll wrap it up, condom, so we can get it up, penetration.
Condom.
thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast of the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast. Leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Love ya. Bye.